I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Dust Bowl.
So grab your topsoil.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And by the time this comes out, not only will it be the end of spooky season, but it will be the end of the midterms.
Correct.
And so we are recording this pre-midterms. Mm-hmm. So... which honestly, I think this topic actually is great because I feel like midterms make me feel like this.
Sure. Like, sure. Yeah.
So a kind of a palate cleanser, if you will, from what will be sort of a bombardment of election results and just all of the things that come along with midterms and general elections and all of the things. Yep. I hope you voted. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about that.
We're talking
about something else. Yep. I have nothing else to say to lead us in other than to like jump into it. But do you have updates, Arden? Do you have something you want to say?
I mean, I'll just say hopefully, because Halloween is also 10 days away. From the day that we are recording this, hopefully my goal by that day is to have watched Halloween Ends.
Oh, you can do that.
I can do that. I mean, we're currently in the, we've made it through the Rob Zombie and now we're at the one before Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
So it's totally doable. But just to keep on our spooky season movie updates. And then, I hope you voted in the midterms. If not, please register and think about voting in the next election in your district.
And keep eyes out for special elections.
It's true. Runoffs. They pop up. Those little creatures. They really do. They pop off.
Remember Georgia? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it may not actually be over in your district or state.
State.
So keep your finger on the pulse.
Mm-hmm. And get ready because you know what happens after the midterms. The presidential election starts. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
You know what?
Keep your soul healthy. Screen your calls. Get some sleep. Get ready for the bombardment of ads.
Oh, my God. Literally, my body just disassociated because when you said that.
I can't. Like, one of my favorite things to do is to go, like, during the presidential election cycle, which, of course, now is basically 4 years, 2 years, like, going hardcore. It's to go back to my mom's because she lives in Ohio. And so at some point during the election, I will go back and see all of the ads. And it's just, it's just crazy because it's cable and it's like, here's a Tide ad and here's a McDonald's ad. And then it's 50 ads that are just political in nature and like fire and brimstone and everything's like a catastrophe. And then there's like an ad for the local eyeglass store. And you're like, I am so sore from the whiplash.
Yeah.
So take care of yourselves. And
always take care of yourself.
Get ready for a bumpy ride. I can't even begin to think about this presidential election that's coming up in 2 years.
No. But know that I love you no matter what. And we'll get through it.
We'll get through it.
One way or another.
That's exactly right. And it will not feel any worse than being in the Dust Bowl.
Hell yeah. I was like, is she going to do
there?
It?
See what I did
is
there?
Is she going to do it? I was like, I hope she's not going to say anything else other than the Dust Bowl. Because talk about, it could be worse. We could be living through the Dust Bowl. Like, talk about a time in history I am glad I fully missed.
Oh, yes. I can't even imagine. I like going to the beach. I do not like
sand.
Like, sand in the places. So I just cannot imagine that I would have thrived in the Dust Bowl.
It's like, it's just so hard when the economy is against you. And then on top of that, Mother Nature is against you. Like, this is, there's no amount, there's n- like,
the worst thing about nothing. It though, there's nothing. The worst thing about this though is that this is not entirely Mother Nature's fault. Like, we did this to ourselves.
Well, sure.
Like, that's fair. We were trying to grow crops in like Wyoming. There's no. Yeah. Like, that's not a good idea.
That's not it. Yeah. That is true. All actions have consequences. It just sucks when the consequence is Mother Nature.
Mother Nature and, like, something called a black blizzard.
Woo!
That happened. I don't want that.
That happened. But we're kind of continuing this, like, kind of series of, like, Mother Nature-esque type of things. We had, like, the Great Chicago Fire, which isn't really Mother, but it's the elements. And now we're doing the Dust Bowl. Like, I'm kind of into it. I'm feeling it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've kind of been on this kick of, like the Dust Bowl came up when I was looking at something to do. And I don't even know that it's, like, related to an anniversary.
Yeah.
But, you know what it was? I was trying, because remember that series we were doing about the New Deal?
Yeah.
And I was like, we haven't done a New Deal episode for a while. So I looked, I like, you know, started Googling around and seeing what was in that bucket of things, that bucket of topics that we haven't covered. And I was like, oh, the Dust Bowl. I was like, I know very little about the Dust Bowl except what I vaguely recall from the pages I did read of Grapes of Wrath. And like that photo of the woman, that like iconic photo, you know, from the Dust Bowl, and like, but some of the pictures that I found doing this research are wild. Just like
they're wild.
Like people just in like, you know, old ye timey garb, and it's just like black behind them because the dust is like just flying. I mean, it's apocalyptic.
Yeah, it truly is. Well, tell me what the sources are so we can jump into the apocalypse.
Okay, great. Our apocalyptic sources are history.com. We go nowhere without her. The Library of Congress. Great source.
One of my favorites. Shout out to the Library of Congress. We love you so much.
We love you. And something I'm very glad exists. The National Drought Mitigation Center at the University of Nebraska. Very helpful.
We gotta have it.
Yes. And I just like, please, all of the funding. Like, I feel like there are parts of this country that are experiencing drought and do periodically in waves. And we will continue in some areas to experience more drought as climate change continues to get worse. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that we have a National Drought Mitigation Center at the University of Nebraska. Please give them more monies.
Give them the monies.
Give them more monies.
All right. Yeah. Let's turn back the clocks and let's go west and talk about the Dust Bowl. What is it? What was the Dust Bowl? For those of you who don't know, I'm going to tell you. The Dust Bowl was the name given to the drought-stricken Southern Plains region of the United States, which suffered severe dust storms during a drought in the 1930s. I'm going to pause to say, the name, the Dust Bowl, great name. It's very much like Cuban Missile Crisis, where I know exactly what's going on. It's catchy, succinct, love it.
Yep.
As high winds and choking dust swept the region from Texas to Nebraska, people and livestock were killed and crops failed across the entire region. It's huge.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
The Dust Bowl intensified the crushing economic impacts of the Great Depression and drove many farming families on a desperate migration in search of work and better living conditions. Although the 1930s drought is often referred to as if it were one episode, there were at least four distinct drought events from 1930 to 1931, second one in 1934, third in 1936, and the fourth in 1939 to 1940. These events occurred in such rapid succession that affected regions were not able to recover adequately before another drought began. I mean, it's like boom, 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 ba-da-ba, be-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. No rain. You can't do it.
No rain. And they've we're going to talk about it, but they've like over-farmed the region.
Yeah.
And it's like a double whammy, you know?
Yeah.
They've like partly done it to themselves and partly Mother Nature's being like, I don't want to rain.
I'm not having it.
I don't want to.
I'm not having it.
No. So let's talk about what preceded the Dust Bowl that made the Dust Bowl so bad. The Dust Bowl was caused by several economic and agricultural factors, including federal land policies, changes in regional weather, farm economics, and other cultural factors. After the Civil War, a series of federal land acts coaxed pioneers westward by incentivizing farming in the Great Plains. Not a great idea, gonna say.
But we've talked about this.
We have.
Hello, Oklahoma. Sooners.
Sooners. The Sooner State. The Homestead Act of 1862, which provided settlers with 160 acres of public land, was followed by the Kincaid Act of 1904 and the Enlarged Homestead Act of 1909. These acts led to a massive influx of new and inexperienced farmers across the Great Plains. So they're like, come out, come out, come on out. And people did, except they sucked at farming.
Yeah, they're just digging.
They're just digging. They're doing it wrong. And there's too many of them. And it's the Great Plains.
It's the Great Plains. You gotta know how to farm the Great Plains.
Many of these late 19th and early 20th century settlers lived by the superstition that, quote, rain follows the plow. No. Immigrants, land speculators, politicians, and even some scientists believe that homesteading and agriculture would permanently affect the climate of the semi-arid Great Plains region, making it more conducive to farming.
If you build it, they will come.
Right. No. In the early 1920s, farmers saw several opportunities for increasing their production. New technology and crop varieties were reducing the time and costs per acre of farming, which provided a great incentive for agricultural expansion. So, okay, we're like moving people west to an area that's not great for farming. And we're enticing them to come because we're saying, if you come over here, the rain will come with you. Just bring the weather with you.
You will bring the rain.
You will bring the rain.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plains.
That's exactly right.
You're a wizard.
You're a wizard. Bring the rain. And then also, this is like, you know, a time of the, you know, industrial expansion. And so people are finding new ways to do things, better ways to do things so they can farm more crops. So we're just really setting ourselves up for failure.
Yeah.
Hardcore. The expansion was also necessary to pay for expensive, newly developed equipment, such as listers and plows, that were often purchased on credit and to offset low crop prices after World War I. So they're trying to farm as much as they can, which I get because now they have this land because they've been enticed to go out there. So they're like, we have the land. It's like when you rent something, you know, like a commercial place in the city, and you're like, okay, great. It's a coffee shop and bar because right. I can make money in the morning and in the evening.
Well, and it's also like, this is how they're going to make their livelihood. Like there's no other, they're like, my job right. now is that I'm going to be a farmer. So in order to make any money at all to support my family, I have to have crops. So I'm going right. to go hard at the thing I need to do to make the money, which yes. is farm.
Which is farm. So when the national economy went into decline in the late 1920s because of the Great Depression, stock market crash, et cetera, agriculture was even more adversely affected. In addition, a record wheat crop in 1931 sent crop prices even lower. So they're farming and they actually can't, like, it's costing them more to farm.
Yeah, they can't make back their money.
Yeah. These lower prices meant that farmers needed to cultivate more acreage, including poorer farmlands, or change crop varieties to produce enough grain to meet their required equipment and farm payments. Right.
I mean, yeah, they're up against it.
They're up against it. I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
When the drought began in the early 1930s, it worsened these poor economic conditions. The depression and drought hit farmers on the Great Plains the hardest. Many of these farmers were forced to seek government assistance.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure at the time was not great because it wasn't like we were doing the thing now or doing the thing that we do now, which is like pay people not to farm.
Right. It's also like at the time, you know, the stock market has crashed. Like, it's not just farmers that are struggling. Like, I can't mm-hmm. imagine that government. And this is before any New Deal programming was in place. Like, we were so not prepared for the stock market crash. And mm-hmm. this, like, I can't even imagine what government assistance was, you know?
Right. Or how even went about getting it. Like, it was hard enough for us during the pandemic to, like, figure out how to get stuff yeah. to people. How would you yeah. even begin to be like getting people government assistance in 1930?
30.
Almost 100 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
But let's talk about the land and how it became dust. How did it come to be?
How?
Between 1930 and 1940, the southwestern Great Plains region of the United States suffered a severe drought. Once a semi-arid grassland, the treeless plains became home to thousands of settlers when, as Arden said, in 1862, Congress passed the Homestead Act. Most of the settlers farmed their land or grazed cattle. The farmers plowed the prairie grasses and planted dry land wheat. As the demand for wheat products grew, cattle grazing was reduced, and millions more acres were plowed and planted. Dry land farming on the Great Plains led to the systematic destruction of the prairie grasses. In the ranching regions, overgrazing also destroyed large areas of grassland. Gradually, the land was laid bare and significant environmental damage began to occur. Among the natural elements, the strong winds of the region were particularly devastating. So we basically like bled it for all it had.
We bled it for all it had, and we took between the all of the grazing and all of the over planting
farming.
And cropping,
yeah.
All of the over farming, we basically like took out the layer of grass, which is what I guess in this area and probably in other areas too, holds the dirt down.
Holds the dirt down, holds the nutrients.
Holds the nutrients
for things
in
to grow.
Right.
There's ecosystems, people. There's ecosystems. And you have to have, what is it called? Homeostasis.
Oh my gosh.
Science in high school.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm very impressive.
So good.
Yeah. Crazy.
A tour de force, you might
Thank you for bringing it back. I am a tour de
force.
We're manifesting. We're manifesting.
We're manifesting.
With the onset of drought in the 1930s, the over-farmed and overgrazed land began to blow away. There it goes.
Bye-bye.
We've all seen the beginning of The Wizard of Oz. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, exactly.
Winds whipped across the plains, raising billowing clouds of dust. The sky could darken for days, and even well-sealed homes could have a thick layer of dust on the furniture. In some places, the dust drifted like snow, covering farm buildings and houses. 19 states in the heartland of the United States became a vast dust bowl. 19 states!
That's so many states.
It's a quarter of the states.
Yeah.
If you do the math.
Yeah.
With no chance of making a living, farm families abandoned their homes and land, fleeing westward to become migrant laborers. So we bleed the region dry. Dust is everywhere. It's swirling up into the clouds. It's getting into your house. You are surrounded by dust. There's no way for you to make money. And they're like, you know what? We've got to go on and get.
Mm-hmm.
We got a G to G. Mm.
Not what I want to do. This would not have been my best life.
No.
So let's talk about living in the Dust Bowl. Sounds like a real catastrophe so far.
Yikes.
I don't want to do this.
Mm-mm.
The Dust Bowl, also known as the Dirty 30s, which hello, is so great.
It's what you're living right now. You're living your best
Currently
Dirty 30s.
Living in my Dirty 30s. Lizzie
I'm
is
on the
soon
precipice.
To enter. You are. Give it a couple of years. You're going to be so happy in your Dirty
30s.
I'm going
to be a filthy 30-year-old.
I can't wait. The Dust Bowl started in 1930 and lasted for about a decade, but its long-term economic impacts on the region lingered much longer. By 1934, an estimated 35 million acres of formerly cultivated land had been rendered useless for farming, while another 125 million acres, an area roughly three-quarters the size of Texas, was rapidly losing its topsoil. During the Dust Bowl period, severe dust storms, often called black blizzards, swept the Great Plains. Some of these carried topsoil from Texas and Oklahoma as far east as Washington, D.C. and New York City. Very far. And coated ships in the Atlantic Ocean with dust.
It's like the only thing I can think to like contextualize it or understand what that's like is, do you remember, maybe it was 2 years ago or so, something happened. Maybe it was forest fires. It was some type of fire. And I remember New York City, like the air quality. It was something, maybe it was like up in Canada, or I don't think it was as far west as California, but there was a fire somewhere. And like it traveled so far that the air quality in New York City was abysmal. And I remember like walking outside and it's haze. And you're like, this is coming from where?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, I can't remember what that was, but I remember it being not like from New Jersey. You know,
No. It was from somewhere. Or like every now and then a volcano will erupt somewhere and people are like, oh God, this is the leftovers of this thing that is, you know, across the equator.
Right.
Coming up to, you know, Atlanta. Right. Like it's wild when you are experiencing something that is happening so far away from you.
Right.
Wild.
Well, that's why, I mean, this is a completely different thing, although similar in nature, different context. But like when there's an earthquake and then you get a tsunami.
Sure.
And like, that petrifies me because how would you know Like, you get the warning for the, or you don't get a warning for an earthquake, but like, so the earthquake happens and then you don't feel it. And then you're living just in an area and all of a sudden here's a wall of water. Like,
yeah,
it just sounds like a Bruce Willis movie. It sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
The weather and is a crazy.
Crazy. Billowing clouds of dust during the Dust Bowl would darken the sky, sometimes for days at a time. In many places, the dust drifted like snow, and residents had to clear it with shovels. Dust worked its way through the cracks of homes, leaving coatings on food, skin, and furniture. Like Lizzie said, some people developed dust pneumonia because, yes, no. Of course, I just, yeah. Like, that's not pneumonia. That's, like, literally dust in your, that's a foreign body in your lungs.
Yeah.
They developed dust pneumonia and experienced chest pain and difficulty breathing, obviously.
Yeah.
It's unclear exactly how many people may have died from the condition. Estimates range from hundreds to several thousand people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I bet it's several thousand. I mean, I you can't ingest that much dust and not have like severe health complications, especially in right. the 1930s, like for God's right. sakes, you know. Right.
On May 11th, 1934, a massive dust storm 2 miles high traveled 2,000 miles to the East Coast, blotting out monuments such as the Statue of Liberty and the U.S. Capitol. 2 miles high.
That's big.
It's big. It's very big. It's very big. The worst dust storm occurred on April 14th, 1935. I'm just going to say a cursed date. That was also when the Titanic sank.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say that. I was like, mm-hmm. It's not saying the date. It's the Titanic. We got to do the Titanic.
Oh, we got to do the Titanic.
We got to do the Titanic. We can't until it's actually the anniversary, but we got to do the Titanic.
Yep. For sure. For sure. Oh.
I mean, or it's our 200th episode.
I mean... Wow.
Houston, if you're listening, write that down. Don't let us forget we want to do Titanic for our 200th episode. Stay tuned. Come back in eight episodes.
So the worst dust storm on the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, April 14th, news reports called the event Black Sunday. A wall of blowing sand and dust started in the Oklahoma Panhandle and spread east. As many as 3 million tons of topsoil are estimated to have been blown off the Great Plains during Black Sunday. That is insane.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, there's nothing that we can like really draw similarities to that has happened in modern, I mean, truly other than smoke from forest fires. Like that's about right. as close as we've gotten to anything like this. But that's like it's like lighter. It's smoke. It's not solid particles.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
An Associated Press news report coined the term Dust Bowl after the Black Sunday dust storm.
Shout out to that writer.
Shout out to that writer. He had it down. Assuming it was a he. Roughly 2.5 million people left the Dust Bowl states, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma. During the 1930s. It was one of the largest migrations in American history. Oklahoma alone lost 440,000 people to migration. Many of them, poverty-stricken, traveled west, like Lizzie said, looking for work. From 1935 to 1940, roughly 250,000 Oklahoma migrants moved to California. A third settled in the state's agriculturally rich San Joaquin Valley. These Dust Bowl refugees were called Okies. Okies.
Sure. Okies,
I know. Because they're all from Oklahoma.
Yeah. 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 It's, you know, yeah. Sure, you got it. Sure. That's the nickname, for sure.
That seems great. Okies faced discrimination, menial labor, and pitiable wages upon reaching California. Many of them lived in shanty towns and tents along irrigation ditches. I mean, these poor people, they're like forced out of their homes.
Yeah.
Only trying to like make ends meet. And then they go to this other place and people are like, you're worthless. Get out of here.
I mean, but that's like, that's U.S.
Yeah. Okie soon became a term of disdain used to refer to any poor Dust Bowl migrant, regardless of their state of origin.
You don't even have to be from Oklahoma. We're going to call you an Okie.
No, we're going to call you an Okie. Could you imagine being from Nebraska and being like, I'm from Nebraska?
I just called me a Bracky.
Bracky. Bracky.
Well, as you know, we currently don't have a Dust Bowl in the United States, which means that at some point it did end. So let's talk about the conclusion of the Dust Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Regular rainfall returned to the region by the end of 1939, bringing the Dust Bowl years to a close. The economic effects, however, persisted. Population declines in the worst-hit counties, where the agricultural value of the land failed to recover, continued well into the 1950s. Also, it's like you have 10 years of economic, you know, the stock market crashes, you know, the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl. Everybody finally gets it kind of like back and going, and then enter World War II.
Right. There's no, we cannot catch a break. From like Hamanisha to now is just, there's no...
Boom, bada, bang.
It's all just apocalyptic.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, you know, World War II, at least from an economic standpoint, like was helpful because of the war economy. But other than that, I think I would have been like, you know what? I would have rathered us just kind of figured out a different way to get back on our feet.
Yes.
As part of Roosevelt's New Deal, Congress established the Soil Erosion Service and the Prairie States Forestry Projects in 1935. These programs put local farmers to work planting trees as windbreaks on farms across the Great Plains. The Soil Erosion Service, now called the Natural Resource Conservation Service, developed and promoted new farming techniques to combat the problem of soil erosion. FDR, for everything that he is, it tickles me that, you know, dealing with the economic crash, dealing with World War II, I just imagine him being like, all right, now I'm going to figure out how to fix farming.
Right. It's not like
Let's talk about, talk to me about topsoil. What do I got to know?
How do we get it to stop flying away?
Yeah.
I'm like, and look, yikes. And they're like, let's plant trees. Yes.
Great. I love it. Throw the trees up.
For all the stuff that he did, I'm not pro the court packing, but like you kind of forgive the man. He's like, I'm just trying to help the people.
Truly. It is honestly, you know, the more learning about this time period and specifically these programs, the more I'm like, yeah, of anybody, I would have given you a third term.
Oh, sure.
Because by that point, I think people were like, we literally can't. You're in too deep. You gotta see this through.
You gotta
keep
going. And
it took him dying.
Yeah.
To break us of him. But I could have seen a world in which FDR stuck around for much longer.
Yeah.
If he didn't have his health issues and maybe perhaps was a little bit younger.
Right.
Because it's just, you're kind of like, you got us out of the Great Depression. You know, I don't know. Yep. There's been nobody close to this.
No. Not as large as a force, but a tour de force, if you will. Second.
No, are you saying that FDR is not as much of a tour de force as
Stewart.
Me?
Of course.
Perfect. I mean, my list of accomplishments.
It goes, it's Lizzie Stewart, and then it's all downhill. Lizzie Stewart, FDR.
No one else.
Nobody else. That's it. Not even me.
We're neck and neck for the tour divorce.
That's exactly right.
I will happily share it with FDR and no one else.
Nobody else.
But that is the end of our Dust Bowl episode. Yikes McGikes. Glad that hasn't happened again.
Oh my God.
Sort of one and done it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to do it again.
Nope.
But very informative. Shout out to the farmers. Shout out to farmers.
Yeah.
Shout out to the agriculture industry. You're literally keeping us fed.
It's true.
So with that said, we love you, obviously, so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.